as we've been hearing, the European Union will today offer to remove a majority of post-Brexit checks on British goods entering Northern Ireland in an effort to ease tensions with the United Kingdom over the Northern Ireland Protocol. It follows a speech yesterday from UK Brexit Minister David Frost, in which he warned it would be a historic misjudgment if the EU did not consider scrapping and replacing the protocol. We can speak now with Katie Hayward, who is Professor of Political Sociology at Queen's University in Belfast and Senior Fellow at the think tank UK is a Changing Europe. Good morning, Katie.
Morning.
We'll get on to the EU's proposals shortly, but first, some strong words from David Frost during his address at the British Embassy in Lisbon yesterday. He also said the protocol has lost consent in parts of Northern Ireland. What's your assessment of that speech?
Yes, I mean, the way to understand it is that we feel as though we're coming into the end game in relation to the protocol, and both UK and the EU definitely see this as the last chance to make major adjustments. And what we see from Frost there is the idea from the UK government that it wants to get the hardest possible Brexit, because obviously it looks at the protocol and sees that as the way by which UK remains tied to the EU, online and following EU rules. And of course, the infamous jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice. So David Frost uses the last chance to reduce those events to sort of achieve some sovereignty that he's been talking about for some time now.
Sorry, your line broke up there a little bit there. So we might just move on a little bit. David Frost, he's proposed a new legal text to replace the Northern Ireland Protocol. He's presenting that to the European Union. Is that likely to change anything?
It's not likely to change very much at all. I mean, basically, he's referring to the command paper there. We've seen what's in that. We don't know that as a text, but just as a set of demands. I mean, what's really of interest today, of course, is the European Commission's proposals. And we expect in those to see outlining technical, practical ways to address the problems that have arisen. Of course, what David Frost is looking for is something more than that, for a new type of protocol, but there's a huge amount of rhetoric going on there, and quite a lot of effort to sort of reassure unionists to some degree that the UK government has recognised their concerns. And this is the problem, of course, that those technical solutions of the European Union won't be political in a way that will kind of reassure unionists. And in a big part, therefore, we're looking at what the UK government can do to temper the concerns of unionists and to reassure them that the protocol as it will finally operate will keep Northern Ireland very much an active part of the UK's internal market.
You touched on it there, that there's a bone of contention, a big one between the two sides in the form of the European Court of Justice and its jurisdiction over issues in Northern Ireland in relation to trade and customs and so on. Manos Šešković hasn't included any proposal on the role of the EU Court in his proposals. David Frost is asking for it to be removed, its authority in Northern Ireland. So how do we square this circle?
Yes, I mean, it's very unlikely. In fact, it's extremely unlikely that if Northern Ireland continues to have access to the single market for goods and effectively be part of it, that the European Court of Justice jurisdiction can be removed. I mean, there's a possibility some kind of fudge or some kind of use of words that can be sold by the UK government as a win in this regard. And we've seen this before in the incision of the democratic consent vote, for example, in the final version of the protocol out in October 19. And that was something that was directly used to address unionist concerns. The funny thing in this point, of course, is that, yes, some unionists, the EUP now, are talking about Court of Justice jurisdiction, but it's really not there. This is very much reflecting the fact that David Frost sees this as the last chance possible Brexit. And so we do hope, of course, that these technical talks won't be held up with too much of a focus on the European Court of Justice jurisdiction and instead getting to the point of addressing the real concerns and difficulties in the operation of the protocol.
Apologies, there's a slight breakup on the line, but one more thing, Katie, I wanted to ask you about was in relation to Article 16 and the possible triggering of Article 16. And David Frost mentioned it in his speech. What's his objective there? Is that a serious intent that the UK might trigger it, or is it more to influence any potential talks going forward?
Yes, I mean, even in the way that he talked yesterday in the speech about the UK's responsibility to safeguard peace and prosperity, I mean, there's a resonance there with the idea that the Article 16 use would be safeguard measures, albeit a slightly strange one. It's definitely something that a number of unionists in particular are calling for the use of. But the effect of Article 16 would very much be to prolong the talks. It would complicate the process. And it really doesn't seem to fit with the idea that this will be a sort of sharp, sharp, intensive round of talks. And of course, we should be very aware that the use of Article 16 is very much a symbolic gesture. In economic terms, it would be only negative, really, for Northern Ireland, and certainly it won't help create that kind of stability and certainty that we're all looking for now.
Okay, Katie Hayward, Professor of Political Sociology at Queen's University Belfast and Senior Fellow at the think tank UK Is a Changing Europe. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and apologies for any breakup on the line there.